I'd like to thank.
Good morning, first of all, Honorable Member and the officials from the ELRC and the executives. I would like to welcome you in this meeting. This meeting, I don't think, will be a very long meeting with you. But we'd like to get through your report. And we'd like to see that this report is adopted today of the ELRC. In my introductory remarks, before I hand over to Llewellyn to tell us what are the apologies, and we will just go into who is present. I would like the Secretary of the ELRC to present the presentation, and I'll be giving you 20 minutes after that. Then I'll ask members to ask questions on the report. When it comes to the report itself, the IPP that we received yesterday already from the ELRC, we went through it myself with the officials that work with me. We went through the report. There were about five things that we picked up that we couldn't agree to. But I must say, members, when it comes to this report, it is a very improved report. And I know, members, if there are things that you'd like to question on it, you are free to do so. Because there were certain things I questioned, because I called in the Secretary this morning, the Secretary this morning with me, and the CFO, and we looked at the things that were still wrong. But as we go along, I think later in this quarter, we should meet the ELRC and the board together without the department that can look at certain things that members would like to discuss with you. So, Llewellyn, will you just give us the apologies, please?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Apologies have been received from Honourable Gina, Susana, Dudley, Madisha.
Fine. When it comes to those three apologies, please have them noted. Let us just introduce ourselves. We'll start with the Honourable Member on this side. After the Honourable Members will be the officials. After the officials, we'll hand over to the ELRC and then the Department Law. Thank you. Honourable Hanyako, we start with you.
A member of this committee, my name is already mentioned by the chairman, and I'm here.
Thank you. Next honorable member.
Good morning, Jake Sikobo, member of the committee. Thank you.
My name is Cross Dimoni, a member of the committee. Chover.
Hoyamora, my name is Arnold Smiles, Secretary of the committee. Okay.
Good morning, all. My name is Annette Love, also a member of this committee.
Now I understood what you said, who she is. Officer?
Good morning, and thank you, Chair. My name is Dennis Band, Content Advisor of the Portfolio Committee.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Jalan Ngobo, Researcher for the Portfolio Committee.
Thanks, sir. Let me hand over to you, madam. You are chairperson.
Thank you. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Doha Sikaba, the chairperson of the ELC.
Good morning, honorable members. It's Cindy Foster, the general secretary of the ELC.
Good morning, honorable members. The name is Jeff Mushaha. I'm the CFO of the ELC.
Good morning, Chair and committee members. The name is Wally Smith, a member of the ELRC from the side of Labour.
Good morning, Chair and the members of the committee. My name is Jones Khalwale. I'm a member of the executive committee of ELRC.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the House. My name is Willie Kutumela. I am a member of the Executive Committee of the ELRC.
Good morning, honourable members and members of the Executive Committee. I'm Simone Gaya. I'm the Chief Director of Education Human Resource Management in the Department of Basic Education.
Good morning, honourable members, honourable chairperson, the executive committee of the ELRC. My name is Tamba Bajana. I'm the acting DDG in the Department of Basic Education.
Thanks, we know exactly who's in the meeting. I think they are back, the assistants. Will you just tell us who you are?
Good morning, I'm Sindhu Sandabene, Committee Assistant for Basic Education.
Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Linda Stofile, a researcher for the Committee Education and Recreation.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good morning, members. My name is Luvuyo from TNG. I'm a reporter.
Good morning, members. My name is Raja Azatani from Parliament Communication.
Thanks for that. We are heading over to the committee of ELRC, and we'd like you to present your report. Thank you for meeting today.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought my chairperson would like to do
it. That's all. I think it will be important because seeing that there's a chairperson here, but like a few opening remarks. Normally we reserve for the DG of the department, but we'll end over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My remarks would be thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. And we hope today we'll present to this committee a report that would be acceptable in terms of our operations in council. And maybe to also indicate to members of the portfolio committee that the ELC, by its nature, some of the things, because it's a bargaining council, might not meet the expectations as members of parliament expected of us to bring, because it depends on the parties in that council in terms of achieving the targets that we meet, in terms of the mandate processes of all parties in the council. Members of the portfolio committee would be aware that that council composes of 50% of it is the representative from basic education, and the other part is labor. We have the South African Democratic Teachers Union as well as Amalgamated Teachers Union, which composes of different unions that are operating in basic education. And we want to thank you for the opportunity that you are presenting to us to present this report to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson, and the honorable member. I think the Chairperson has alluded to our briefing meeting this morning, wherein we discussed also what is going to be the approach thing that we had presented before in terms of the detailed APP. However, emanating from last week's interaction, there were some few areas that we had to go and revise. So the Chairperson has provided guidance in that effect that perhaps what we need to do as a starting point
is to make reference to those areas that we have since revised from that which was initially presented. So, Chairperson, without having wasting time, I will proceed straight to the situational analysis. Firstly, I think on behalf of our executive committee as well as on page 4 of the presentation. I hope so. Sorry.
Don't we have projection on the screen, Chairperson?
We do. We do. The 60%, because for IT just to do it will take 5 to 10 minutes, and we wouldn't like to waste our time. So let's wait until after, later for the Bioscope. Is your page 4 introduction?
Sure, on your printed copies, on page 8, the situational analysis.
Thank you.
My apologies. Thank you. Okay, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. We were advised by Gwendolyn that it would not be necessary to protect the presentation. Chairperson, I was at the point where we were expressing our appreciation for the comments that we received through your office via the content advisor and the researchers. Because from where we were seated, we realized that indeed there were areas of improvement. So, Chairperson, what we have since done, we have revisited the situational analysis in terms of trying and attempting to address the specific issues that were identified in the concerns as prepared by your office, Chairperson. What we have since done, Chairperson, we've looked at the specific issues that were raised. I'm just going to quickly start there before I proceed to the detailed presentation itself. I think in the main, the first concern for the committee was what role is the ELRC playing in so far as facilitation and intervention is concerned, where there are areas where there's a potential for disputes. In other words, issues that are currently concerned as bring about an impasse between labor and the employer at large. Chairperson, what we have since done in terms of our presentation, we've made specific reference to our situational analysis that where we identify a potential for conflict, we always appoint facilitators as high as at the level of senior counsel, people who are trained with specialized skills to go and mediate. And as such, we have provided such in the Eastern Cape because I think specifically the area of concern was Eastern Cape, whether the ELRC has played a role or not in what has transpired there insofar as the impasse between the department and the teacher union. And, Chairperson, we can confirm that indeed we had provided such, which resulted in the collective agreement number 1 of 2012, which was the appointment of temporary educators. However, as members would know that when the province was put under administration, there were financial issues that had to be addressed prior implementing that agreement insofar as the appointment of temporary educators is concerned. But however, we can confirm to date that currently there are plans in place, the management plan adopted by our chamber to implement that agreement, which is going to address to the cause of the problem that existed in the chamber insofar as the appointment of temporary educators. Chairperson, the other aspect that was raised was our silence insofar as ECD issues are concerned. Despite the fact that the NDP makes reference to early childhood development aspect being critical insofar as basic education, we have since revisited the Department of Education's annual performance plan, where we have picked up that there's reference to providing access to early childhood development centers. We then thought that the role that the ELRC can play in that regard would be perhaps at this point in time to conduct a preliminary research insofar as the conditions of service are concerned, because we realize that from the document itself, the concern of the members was the manner in which currently the conditions of the service for the sector are being dealt with. Having said that, Chairperson, we also take full cognizance of the fact that currently the issues around ECD are a shared responsibility between two ministries, that being basic education and social development, which then begins to suggest that the issue might be bigger than what the ELRC is dealing with, because our limitation can only be so far as conditions of service are concerned. And until such time that there's a policy in place with specific norms and standards to regulate the sector, then the ELRC can play a meaningful role. However, we're taking a proactive role insofar as conducting a preliminary research on how the sector can be institutionalized in terms of the conditions of service. However, I also need to make mention of the fact that we will be convening a workshop on the national development planning issues through the Office of Planning Commission. We have confirmed the workshop for next week, where perhaps after listening to the workshop, the ELRC might have a better idea in terms of how can we expand that which we have identified to date as a minimum role that we can play until such time that the sector is regulated in terms of the policy itself. Shepherdson, the other aspect that was raised was in terms of the backlogs. How do we deal with the backlogs because our APP is silent? We looked at the issue of the backlogs, and I also forgot to make mention of the fact that some of these issues, we did not put them in detail in the APP because they are managed in terms of internal management plan. In terms of our management plan, we started by analyzing what constitutes the backlog that we're currently sitting with. From our draft annual report, which we shall come back in October to present to the committee, you will see that there's currently a backlog of 184 from the previous financial year. That 161 is from the previous financial year, and the 20 is for the year 2010-2011. That 20, Chairperson, we have briefed you in our discussion that the issue of the backlog has got a lot of complication than what we think we can deal with, mainly because a greater percentage of these backlogs are cases where applicants are represented by lawyers. So the ELRC will set down the matters. However, due to the fact that the applicant is dependent on the diary of the representative, which is the lawyer in a specific case, to clear his diary before he can come and honor our hearing. So in that regard, despite the fact that the ELRC has the processes in place to try and expedite the matters, the limitation is the availability of the legal advice for the applicant. The other issue that is leading to the area of backlogs, that is contributing to backlogs, person, even so far as these disputes that involve the child as the victim. We take note of the fact that there's an area of interest in so far as the portfolio committee members are concerned in that regard, in terms of what begins to be the role of ELRC versus that of SAFE, because SAFE deals with the conduct of educators and we deal with the disputes. Chairperson, we thought that it's important that we clarify to the members that ELRC in the bargaining council deals with unfair dismissals in terms of Section 186 of Labor Relations Act. Now, what that means, it means that the Employment of Educators Act, Section 18, dictates that when an educator is alleged to have conducted himself in a manner that is unacceptable in terms of sexual misconduct and so forth, such an educator is dismissed. That is a process that takes place outside the ELRC. However, that educator, being an employee and being protected by the laws of a country, reserves the right to refer the matter to the ELRC insofar as unfair dismissal is concerned. Now, when that happens, the ELRC does not deal with whether the educator is guilty or not, because we allow those processes to ensue in terms of the law itself, as well in terms of the mandate of SAFE. Our responsibility is to determine whether the process followed was fair or not fair for the employee concerned. And as such, Shepherdson, in such instances, that process of setting down the dispute itself requires that the case is heard all over again, which exposes the child to the same interrogation that such a child shall have been subjected to in terms of safe cases as well as in terms of the law out there. Now, what presents a problem which leads to us having a lot of backlogs insofar as those cases are concerned, you get cases where parents are reluctant to allow that their kids are subjected to such again, which then we must still find a way to protect the child by appointing intermediaries, by finding suitable venues such as those that are used in the courts of law, wherein cases are heard in camera. Now, currently, the ELRT does not have such facilities. If we are relying on the courts availing such to us, it means those cases can only be reheard in terms of the ELRT constitution once the venues are available and once the parent has given consent that the learner can be subjected. And that too takes its own time because we need to assure the parent that the learner will not come into contact with the alleged perpetrator, which is an educator in this case. So it takes a bit of a time for us to deal with. But Chairperson, we are putting systems in place because we're working with the Department of Justice to avail the venues to ourselves, as well as an NGO. There are NGOs that deal with the protection of the rights of the children. So they too have committed to assist us in that regard. But in the main, major contribution to our cases being postponed in so is in terms of that. Having said that, Chair, the other issue was the issues raised by the Auditor General in terms of our financial report, wherein a lot of issues were raised insofar as the wasteful and fruitless expenditure, how we are not complying in terms of the treasury regulations, the precautions, and so forth. And as such, the same report made recommendation that we establish a supply chain management unit that is going to be residing in the office of the CFO. There too, Chair, despite the fact that it was a concern raised, we need to also identify that, I mean to indicate that we had, when we were doing an analysis of our organizational environment, we had identified that as being a priority that needs to be attended to. And as such, our executive committee approved that, my apologies, I'm disturbed by this movement. Yeah. I was still explaining the issues emanating from the management report of the Auditor General insofar as the audit of ELRT is concerned, that we have since established a supply chain management unit, and we are pleading with the committee to give us an opportunity to come and report in our annual report, because this is just an implementation plan. We are saying in this document these are the measures that are put in place, but we will only be judged at the time when it comes to present the annual report so that the members can satisfy themselves whether the provisions that were put in place had addressed the Auditor General's findings or not. But we want to assure the committee that we have an up and running supply chain management unit to deal with the issues that were raised. The other aspect in terms of governance, Chairperson, was in relation to the high turnover rate that was picked up in our annual report 2011-2012. So what we wanted to explain in that regard is that the ELRT is a small organization, which for the most fortunate reasons, we happen to attract a younger generation in terms of appointments who are very much ambitious, who always look for better opportunities. However, after having identified such, our executive committee has seen a need to develop a retention strategy in terms of looking at what can be put in place insofar as to retain the personnel that is appointed. And then in terms of the other vacancies, Chairperson, what we had reported was that the total number of vacancies was due to two factors. Firstly, is the one in terms of the resignations, which the retention strategy will address. Secondly, the other one was in terms of the vacancies that exist in our approved organogram, which the executive committee took a decision that not all vacancies should be filled. We must first conduct a work study to see if our organogram talks to the council achieving its objectives or there is a need for such to be reviewed, which then meant, Chairperson, that the organogram could not be populated. However, for reporting purposes, that number will always be added on to the number of resignations, which then begin to create a picture that there's a high turnover rate, whereas realistically speaking, it's not necessarily the case, because you have these vacancies that have never been filled, despite the fact that they are in the approved organogram. Chairperson, I've covered disputes and governance issues. Coming back to collective bargaining, we were asked in terms of our silence insofar as performance management instrument is concerned for educators, there too we're of the view that now that we've got an approved management plan, those issues being captured in such in terms of the specific deadlines and so forth, we are covered. However, we have actually addressed the concern of the members, and as such, now in our revised APP, we have taken the deadlines as set out in the adopted management plan, and we factored them in with the specific targets and the deadlines in terms of when such will be achieved. I'm sure when we go to the detailed document, we will see there that we've put the revised performance management system or instrument educators as one of the targets that shall be concluded by the second term in terms of the quarterly reporting. But for the annual report itself, I'm sure when we come back for the report for the year 2014, that is 2013-2014, by that time we shall be coming back to say that the revised performance management system is being implemented. Yes. Then taking it further, Chair, without necessarily waiting for the presentation itself, in terms of collective bargaining, we've taken it further to divide it into specific areas. We looked at first the element of promoting collective bargaining, where we focus in the main in terms of the outcome itself, the product, in terms of the specific areas that will be identified for conclusion, which then will be concluded in the collective agreement. Then to address one of the comments that was raised in the document prepared by the Quarter Advisor, the issue of the ELRC found lacking so far as implementation of agreements is concerned. We have identified such as the second aspect, but we thought that it's important that before you even monitor implementation, it's important that you provide training and advocates, because part of our challenges has been that provinces interpret collective agreements differently, which results in them implementing the agreement in the manner in which they interpret it, which then leads to more disputes being presented to ourselves. Then EXCO identifies the need to provide training and advocacy as the second aspect that needs to be addressed after the collective agreement has been concluded. And as such, the specific target in that regard in terms of the presentation and the APP itself. Then we took it further to say once we have developed the business plans for the provincial departments as the implementers of our agreements and we have provided them with training, we then monitor if that which was trained or was presented to them is being followed to the latter. That too, the specific target in terms of the collective agreement that we are investing will be concluded in the year that we are submitting our plan for. And that too, the person links or ties up with what takes place at the provincial chambers. In terms of the provincial chambers, more than the forum being there for bargaining, because we always, in terms of the constitution, they can only engage in bargaining insofar as matters that are unique to them are concerned. They always take cue from the agreements that are concluded at the national. We then identify three specific areas for them that we will allow them space in terms of our constitution to engage in such matters. Secondly, we are using our forums for consultation, information sharing. Now, that brings me to the aspect of teacher incentives, wherein we were asked what role are we playing in so far as teacher incentives is concerned. Currently, Chairperson, there's a policy in place which was declared by the minister as a result of collective bargaining failing to come up with an agreement. I'm not quite sure about the year, but the policy has been in existence for some years now. What has been coming up in terms of the reports received from our provincial chambers is that there are serious problems in terms of how the policy is currently being implemented. And as such, that area has been identified that there is a need either to review the policy itself or the parties to the ELRC considering concluding an agreement that shall contain all the modalities in terms of what is the envisage in terms of addressing the paying the incentives to for rural allowance for educators and equally to try and keep down the problems that are currently out there. That too, currently we are relying on our provincial chambers to monitor such implementation. The other issue that they deal with is insofar as consultation is concerned, issues such as PPN, because nationally only deals with the policy itself in terms of the establishment of the positions as well as the filling of such. It's a process that we give to the provincial chambers to own it. after having clarified that, I'm not quite opposed. I was only allocated 20 minutes, but I'm hoping that members have tried to follow in terms of the presentation itself. We felt that it's important to revisit this question of what is the role of the ERC on the dispute that involves the school governing bodies. The two issues is that one, and as well as the dispute that involves the child as a victim. Insofar as the school governing bodies are concerned, Chairperson, we take full cognizance of the fact that our constitution provides that educators can refer disputes to us insofar as appointments and promotions are concerned, where school governing bodies have either failed to appoint or they have appointed a different person. However, having said that, we are also raising in our situational analysis that we take full cognizance of the Labour Appeals Court judgment, wherein we were found to be wanting in terms of that constitutional provision that we have. When we were here, Chairperson, we made reference to an engagement that ensued at our executive committee level, wherein a management plan was adopted with what is it that needs to be changed so that the ELRP can improve its performance. Part of such is the amendment of our constitution itself to address in the main this labor court judgment, and as well as disputes where the school governing bodies are involved. However, having said that, we also take full cognizance of the fact that the school governing bodies are performing that function on behalf of the employer, but we will amend our constitution so that it addresses such concerns. And the second part, Chairperson, the issue was whether we are filing our awards where learners are involved in cases of sexual misconduct. What we have identified and clarified further in our situational analysis is that the criminal law in terms of the Amendment Act of 2007 makes reference to the court filing such decisions or whoever that has been convicted to the register itself as well as to the SAPS. Now, the ELRC not being a court is kind of hamstrung insofar as the filing is concerned. Because when you're following the law, you have to follow it to the latter. Therefore, the ELRC is only filing the award to SAIS. But insofar as the register itself, as well as SAPS, I think it's the National Register of Offenders, we are currently engaging the two institutions to assess whether the ELRC, by law, will be permissible to do such. Because we are taking full cognizance of what is provided therefore. Because the ELRC, it is just a statutory tribunal. It is not necessarily a court itself. We do not want to find a situation wherein we find such and then such an employee takes us to court for having infringed on the rights and using the same law against the council itself. Chairperson, in terms of the State of the Nation address, the issues raised by the President in the State of the Nation address, as well as the National Development Plan, I think we can confirm that currently there are discussions at Council where references have been made to the commission that will be established by the President. However, at this point in time, it will be premature of the ELRC to tie itself to such because we are not aware what will be the terms and conditions of such a commission that is yet to be established by the President. That is insofar as the State of the Nation address is concerned. The second issue of the National Development Plan, I've made reference to the fact that we will be receiving a presentation from the Planning Commission next week, after which, because we need also to take full cognizance of the fact that APP is submitted in January, the final one for approval, with the view that September you are also afforded an opportunity to revise it, to take into consideration what shall have transpired after you have submitted your first plan. So if at that time there are any issues that should be lifted up from either the commission that the President will establish insofar as the salaries of educators are concerned, or the issues as currently expressed in the National Development Plan, we will then revise our APP to factor those in. Having said that, there was also reference to whether we have taken into consideration the current proposals insofar as the amendments to the Labour Relations Act is concerned. We have, Chairperson, but again there, our role is very limited because we all know that we cannot do anything until such time that the amendments have been passed into the Act. once the amendments have been passed into the Act, if in any way they affect the operations of the council or our business itself, we will then put processes in place and take those into consideration when we revise our APP. Chairperson, the figures have not changed. However, they, through your indulgence, the CFO can highlight certain things if there are any issues to be highlighted. I'll pause there, Chairperson.
Fine. Thank you for going through all the questions and the research we did on your document and giving us answers on that. But the committee will also interrogate the report. The CFO, is there anything that you'd like to add? There's nothing from the CFO. The department, is there anything that you would like to add? There's nothing from the department. And we gave the executives, the board, a chance to speak. There's nothing from your side at the moment. Is there anything that you'd like to speak to? Fine. I'm opening this for interrogation to the committee itself. I'll be starting right on far in. Honorable Shishi, would you like to ask a question now? Or can I bypass you first and come back? All right, number three. All right, Honorable Lovemore.
Thank you, Chairperson. One of the questions that we asked, has not been answered. I do appreciate all the detail that has been given in response to the many questions that were asked last week, the week before.
I don't know, but let us leave it as such. Just ask your question, ma'am.
Yes?
Honourable Member, sorry.
It's fine. Chair, one of the objectives of the ELRC, I'm just trying to find it, but here, this is not objective, it's worded as a strategic outcome-oriented goal of the ELRC, is proactive dispute prevention and resolution. Now,
I think, just put your thing off, whose cell phone is it? Because it's someone's cell phone that's ringing. All right. You can ask a question again there, Peter. Yeah. Strategic.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, with respect to the current SATU action in particular, it's okay, you wouldn't be proactive necessarily. You would be reacting to a situation that has developed. But you wouldn't, what I'm asking is, are you waiting for somebody to put something on the table in front of you and say, or do you have to wait and say, please intervene? Because from, and please again understand that I am coming from a place of ignorance. I have not been involved in bargaining council, so I need you to assist me. But the fact is there's a collective agreement, there's a disagreement about the collective agreement on both sides, on the employer side and the employee side. At least a part of the employees, the statute particularly, is being very vocal about their disagreement. The collective agreement was brokered through the bargaining council. So you have a direct involvement. So when things happen, like the statute work to rule and the strike last week, do you not then have any role? Can you not intervene in any way and call parties to the table, etc.? Chair, I want to refer very specifically, and just to try and understand, I have a great concern with the report. The report that has been presented to us today is enormously better than the report that was presented previously, which didn't have targets. I mean, it had things like minimize or improve or whatever, with nothing measurable in it at all. But it does seriously concern me, and let me just give you one example. On page 18, well, let me go back a step. It seriously concerns me that there are different targets in different places on the report for the same thing. On page 18, if you take resolution of ordinary arbitrations as an example, resolution of ordinary arbitrations within 180 days, the target on page 18 is 70% to be resolved in 2014, then 70% in 2015, 75% in 2016. Now we go over the page and we look at 5.2, resolution of ordinary arbitrations within 180 days, and suddenly we find 80% and 90% and 100%. The targets are not the same, which is a bit concerning. What is the actual target? There's another concern just with respect to numbers, Chair, and that is with annual targets and quarterly targets not tying up. If you look at page 23, as example, you will see this is conclude bargaining on identified matters of mutual interest in public education, 8 of the 11 agreed matters to be concluded. If, however, you go to the quarterly targets, which are on page 25, and you add up first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, you get a total of 11. So your target for, if you take the quarter, is actually 11 out of 11 to be concluded. So what is your actual target? That is concerning. It might be clear what the targets are. I am not convinced on page 26. You set a good number of targets for the finalization of collective agreements on parity of notches, on appointment of temporary educators, incentives for educators, etc. And you've set the target all of them at September 2013. I presume the CA means about.
Page what is it?
26. I'm not sure what CA means. Collective agreement. Oh, okay. If you write it in small letters, it actually means about, so it's short for about in Latin. September 2013, which is just around the corner, it is how many months? May, June, July, August, September, 5 months away. Is it realistic is this realistic in your view? And then my last question for now, Chair, is also on page 26, and it was spoken about quite substantially, the post-provisioning norms. I think a lot of us are concerned about the post-provisioning and whether they really speak to curriculum, etc.
Continue. I think it's
more than
ringing. All right. Put it away. Jack, put it on to the
Chair, sorry.
Page 26.
Yes, the post-provisioning. I would assume that the ERC would not be involved in the structure of the post-provisioning norms, because that would surely go to curriculum needs, etc., which must come from DBE. I don't understand ERC's involvement in the revised post-provisioning norms. Won't you please explain that? Thank you, Chair.
I'll come to Mr. Marnie, then I'll go to Honourable Marnie, then Honourable Dekorgo, and then I'll go back and back to Honourable Mashishi. Honourable Marnie?
Thank you, Chairperson. One question. I just want to find out if the agreements entered into and facilitated by the Council have a peace obligation. Thank you.
Honourable
Dekorgo. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to comment also that our thing.
And that's telling me, were you asking the executive this question, or do you want the secretary to answer the question? Because you like dividing your time between the two.
No, that's interesting. I thought I would say, Chairperson, you're saying the department and the council now, just saying. It may just be confusing because the department for purposes today is council. So unless there is an official of the department who is not a member of EXCO, who is in that capacity, but that's a different matter. No, just to say we really appreciate and we hope this is going to materialize. The issue of the conditions of service of ECD practitioners. Because look, the saying is true. If there are no rules, there are no violations. So because there are no standard rules, these people can be treated anyhow. And you can't accuse anybody of treating them unfairly, because unfair is in terms of an existing condition. So it's something that it has really been out there, and people are living under very horrible conditions, to say the least. In the targets, there are a few things that are missing. I don't know if they've fallen between the cracks. The first one relates to the conclusion of the OSD.
Yeah.
Because in that collective agreement, if one remembers well,
there is an intention to sign a performance contract with principals and deputy principals. And I think this committee has been asking, we answers have not been forthcoming. Now it doesn't appear anyway in their targets for the year. Has the council given up on it? What is the meaning of this thing? How far are we? But also related to the same collective agreement, I want to talk about the issue of RPL, recognition of prior learning. Because that collective agreement, Chairperson, changes a minimum requirement. It used to be REQV 30. Now I say, no, it's been changed to REQV 40. But then you have educators, some of them as low as REQV 10, the lowest possible level. And we know that there's been this thing of the NP national diploma in education that is taking place. But that collective agreement also said there's going to be RPL for those who might not make it through the other processes. Now, I might admit this, I don't see it anywhere in the report. Maybe just, the other one relates to the role of council in establishing labor peace. Because collective bargaining goes hand in hand with labor peace. And if there are strikes, obviously it means there's no labor peace. And yeah, it doesn't matter for our people whether it is the union that is the cause of the disruption of peace or the department. The bottom line is that there is no peace in the sector, and it worries us. Now, I've seen this in the previous, they were talking about training of practitioners. So if they could just inform the committee a little bit, how far we are there educators now who are being trained in this, either to become commissioners or whatever, but the thing is that they will assist. If you have people at your face who understand these things, you will have disruptions are minimized. People understand the law. Educators understand the law. And they are likely to act within the law. The department, the same can be said with the department. The training of practitioners. Somewhere they were talking about commissioners and practitioners. I want to understand, in that number that they mentioned, how many are teachers or educators? I'm not very interested now in training of lawyers. You know, these lawyers who come in as commissioners, they are already trained. They should be trained. Otherwise, they wouldn't be appointed as commissioners. As an aside also, this thing of, I'm trying to understand the conditions under which the ELRC could file, you know, report on, because they don't preside over this sort of discipline. They don't try teachers. I can't find an example, but they're saying they have an intention of doing it. Maybe they could just talk about it. I thought it would be the employer or states, because that's where teachers go for disciplinary hearings if they are found guilty or even cause of law. Where would the ELRC come in? I don't understand. Thank you very much.
Now you are correct, because I did speak to teachers, appeal to them too. So you are correct. I'll take our honorable spouse, and then I'll come back to honorable Bashishi, and then honorable Shwana, and then honorable Maubera. Honorable spouse?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just two short questions. One with regard to...
How many short?
Very short.
Now, but how many?
Two.
Two, all right.
Yes. The backlogs, this is a clarity one, just for clarity. I heard that one of the reasons why there are backlogs is because of the non-availability of legal advice for the applicant. Is that true? Now, unless I've been away for a while with my mind, I haven't heard what are the remedy to that from your side. Because I would imagine that then you must approach law society or whoever to tell them this is not assisting us to achieve labor peace and to get our disputes resolved. So can you come up with some measures to deal with that one? And then also with regard to ECD, Chairperson, Let me appreciate, first of all, the steps being taken at this level for ECD. But, Chairperson, I think there is too much, as my colleague has indicated, that are still wanting from ERC. Maybe our expectation is too high. But in the absence of other role players and stakeholders not coming to the fore with something credible, I think you must take a step. And once again, we don't see that efforts coming from there. So you indicated the research. And also, can you then say to us what is the research? Is it in terms of remuneration? Is it in terms of the whole package for a practitioner? Are we going for them to be teachers? Will they remain? What is your idea? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine involved the hearing involving the child as victim or as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases involving the child as victim or witness, I want to have to be filled with the South African Police Service.
Mm-hmm.
Child Protection Unit, and then with the SAIS and the National Sexual Offenders Register. I just want to check how many awards have been filled as well.
Those.
And then what procedure does the ELRC follow to file this award?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
On Bushwana, would you like to come first? Tarhan Yako, I'm going to ask you. I'm sorry. You also would like to ask a question, eh? Even before. All right, now it's okay. I'll take it one off. Yes, Ms. Joanna, on the phone. All right, lean over there to Honorable Tukobo. Or try the other one.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to thank you for this comprehensive document in front of us. But then I have a few questions. The first one is, like, I don't understand why we still talk in today's age of relying on your SGB. You spoke and said that I'm talking of your administration service. Why do we keep on relying on your provincial chambers to monitor and ascertain that to monitor? My input would be that we can rely on them, but we must rely on them to monitor, but we must ascertain that they monitor, because it will not assist for us to rely on the provincial and we are seated. I'm saying we, like I'm referring to you. I don't want to be seen as an outsider. That's the first one. And the second one, on establishment of court, it's on page 27. I don't understand why temporary educator should remain in the... I understand that we know that some people pass on and people go to leave to... for different reasons. But why do we have to put it here that we will have temporary educators and not talk of permanent, except for when ladies go for those specialties and when some people have them. Because it's like we must have temporary educators, as if we're thinking of bringing somebody in. In the meantime, we put you there. And that expectation, once you are there as a temporary educator and somebody might come and fill the space, it will make this cycle efficient again. And finally, do you still take your deadlock to CMA? And if you do that, can we rely on CMA to always solve the challenges that are facing the department? Thank you very much.
Thanks for that. Honorable Marco Bella.
Not much. The first is that
Oh, okay, thanks. I'm saying firstly, there have been challenges of functionality or effectiveness of the provincial councils or chambers, which even led to some labor disputes, which are even feeding now into the national strikes and so on. What has been the effort that went into those to ensure that all that is achieved at that level contributes nationally positively? The other on backlogs, I think there were about two, if not three, of the scenarios that were given to explain the backlogs. To some degree, it's understandable. But my challenge was that to say that we cannot put any realistic targets in that record. And therefore, we must just leave it open because we may not be able to control the situation. And whilst on that one, there has been engagement, or there is going to be engagement with SAID. And it's a matter we have been raising for some time. And in this particular case, on page 11, not of the presentation, but the other document, APP, it talks of the engagement with SAID so that the child is not subjected to several processes which are similar and which may be torturing to the young person. But we wanted that broadly as well, just to understand how far that process is, or is there any streamlining of these processes to the extent that the child or the victims may not be subjected to that. The last but one chair, on the presentation, page 47 and 48, I'm not able to reconcile unless if my interpretation has a problem. The target of 90% debt collection and the 100% order. Perhaps that can be explained. The last, very last, is the incentives for educators.
Incentives.
Yes. Can that be explained slightly what we're referring to there? So that I don't think of something else. We also talk of incentives for educators in various ways. What are we talking to there?
Thank you. What you should explain to is the laptops, because the laptops are still in your court. We want to know in which court are these laptops, because you don't say anything on the, your IPP. And then the other that I'm really interested in, and I think the whole committee talked with even the Honourable Marnie and even the Honourable Lovemore, the brokering of these. Because we know that there are still many systemic problems within the Department of Basic Education. But the thing is, there's still a lot of instability within the basic education sector. And I think what you should do there, you have to really speak to your obligation when it comes to peace. I'll hand over first. If there's anything that Secretary would like to answer, and then after that, we'll hand over to the council itself, you know, certain things that you can answer. Because I think the whole problem came in when there were questions that the secretary couldn't answer, you know, that the council can only, you know, tell us about. Thank you. Our secretary, please.
Thank you, Professor. I think the first question is what intervention or what role has the council had played in so far as the current issue?
I'd like to welcome another council member present. Thank you.
Chair, the issue is the role played by the council in so far as the current dispute on the collective agreement on tariffs that was signed in 2011. Chair, we want to place it on record that the agreement indeed was concluded at the last in April of 2011.
And then at the stage wherein it was reported at council that there were problems with the collective agreement, there were engagements that the former general secretary was involved in to try and engage with the two parties, that is labor, which is all the unions, as well as the department. And as such, the first time that the dispute itself was referred was in 2012. That was precisely because there was that other process that was taking place. However, when the process failed, that's when then the dispute was referred to the LRC. And in terms of our constitution, when such has happened, you need to set the matter down and appoint an independent panelist to preside over such, which the ELRC did. Of course, after, I don't want us to lose sight of the fact that there were previous engagements before the actual dispute itself was registered with the council. So there was a panelist appointed, the process was put in place in as provided for in terms of our constitution, until such time where that which is provided for within the constitution itself was exhausted. Hence then, one of the two parties, which is labor, as a recourse, approached the court. Now, at this point in time, it is a bit tricky for the ELRC to engage, because as we all know, we have to respect the law of the country. Once the matter is serving before the court, you cannot engage outside such processes. However, we had attempted to resolve the issue prior to the dispute being referred to the council. But I'm sure the council member, together with the chairperson, might add if they want to. Chairperson, in terms of, I think the issue was on collective bargaining, the actual targets versus the quarterly targets. I think what we have put there is that we have identified, based on, we are basing that on the baseline, how many issues were there on the agenda of council, which is our baseline in the previous year. And we have said we had 11 issues. And at the time of putting together the APP, we had done an assessment to say, out of these 11 issues, there hasn't been any issue that has been concluded. So we are sitting with a baseline, which still informs the program of the council going forward. Now, we are saying at least out of those 11 issues that are currently serving on the agenda of council, we are envisaging a situation where 8 issues should or shall have been concluded by the end of the financial year. Now, that is talking in broad sense. That does not necessarily mean that we are saying 8 collective agreements should be concluded. Because when you look at the agenda of council, it's not everything that gets to be resolved in the form of a collective agreement. If I make an example, part of the issues that are currently there is the revision of PEM, the personnel administrative measures, which is more like an HR policy for educators. That you can't conclude an agreement, but you are citing it as part of the issues that are serving on the agenda of council. Now, when you go to the quarterly target, you do not list those issues that have been identified per se, but you are lifting up those that you see as the outcome being the conclusion of the collective agreement. That is why you see that we've got the, out of 11 issues, we are saying that those that will be concluded in the form of a collective agreement, therefore we are placing them in terms of the quarterly target. But those that will be concluded in terms of finalizing whatever discussion is on the matter are not listed as part of the collective agreement. And having said that, Chairperson, to come to the issue raised by the Honorable Dikobo on RPL, RPL is among those 11 issues that are listed there. So it is there. It is currently a matter on discussion of council. And what we have done in terms of RPL, we have said we take full cognizance of the fact that, too, that issue is regulated in terms of the other policies that are not necessarily subjected to council to agree on. However, for council, it is to put a system in place to address the issue of RPLing educators, but that is guided by the policy that is done by SAPA. And as such, we have identified the issue of RPL as one of the issues that needs to be addressed in terms of our research. And we have made mention of such in our situational analysis. Chairperson, in terms of, I think I've clarified the issue of the actual target, the annual target versus the quarterly targets for collective bargaining. In terms of the PPN, Chairperson, the PPN is a matter for consultation. The policy will be drafted by the department and then it's brought to council. That too forms part of the 11 issues that we have identified. The council does not conclude a collective agreement, but however, it is a matter that is subjected to other parties for consultation purposes. Therefore, what we are saying is we are envisaging a situation where the council, after the policy has been consulted on and there's an agreement in terms of what is contained in the policy, therefore the ELRC to tie that process to the process of reducing the number of temporary educators. Honorable Moshwana, the ELRC wants to conclude a collective agreement. That collective agreement is going to address the concern in terms of the inconsistencies that are currently prevailing in terms of how those educators are absorbed in the system. We are saying we only want to standardize the process, but we don't lose sight of the fact that the issue of appointing temporary educators is budget-driven. The number of temporary educators in the system will always be there because there are quite a reason, a variety of reasons why you should have such. Because in the same post establishment, there will always be ad hoc posts that as a school you can't fill permanently. That is to provide for the fluctuation of learner enrollment. Now, you always have a pool of temporary educators in the system, but our objective as the council is to reduce the number so that where possible, where budget allows and where there are substantive vacant posts, such temporary educators are absorbed in the system. That's when then we talk about this collective agreement that should be concluded so as to address the modalities of how do you go about standardizing such. Chairperson, in terms of the question by Honorable Mon, maybe perhaps the council will also assist there, but I from where I'm seated, I don't recall any clause in our agreement that provides for peace obligation, except to say that where there is a dispute in terms of the agreement itself, such a matter is provided for in terms of the ELRC constitution. Chair, moving forward to the issue of conclusion of OSD, wherein there was commitment to conclude performance contracts. I think we have put it in our presentation in terms of page 25. We are on page 25 of the presentation itself, where we have made reference to a collective agreement on the revised performance management instrument for educators. When we were here last year, Chairperson, in October, to present our annual report, we clarified the issue of revising the current performance management instrument, which is the IQMS for educators, versus the contract. And we explained that currently the discussions are focused on revising the performance management instrument. There is no specific contract, however, the process talks to the revision of the management system that is currently used, which we all know as the IQMS. That too is part of the items that have been listed as being 11 and 7 on the agenda of council. I have, Chairperson, touched on the issue of RPL, where I've made reference to the fact that it is covered in our APP, not the presentation, but on page 13, as part of the area that we shall be conducting research on, so that we come up with an appropriate model for the educators. Chair, I will, in terms of the role of council in establishing or maintaining labor peace, I have made reference earlier on before that we act within the ambit of the ELRC's constitution. Where there are potential deadlocks, the ELRC implements its constitution in terms of appointing independent facilitators. In the cases of provinces where we either hear over the news or we hear from our colleagues that there's an issue that parties don't see eye to eye on, we engage the two parties concerned and to seek if they really want facilitation or if they feel that they will still engage each other at the chamber level. And today, Chairperson, I must say that exercise has yielded positive results, Eastern Cape being the case in example. So in terms of training of practitioners as part of us contributing to maintenance of labor peace, wherein the question is whether there are any educators that are currently being trained. So we can confirm that 240 is provided for practitioners insofar as union officials are concerned, as well as the departmental officials are concerned. So we are not necessarily training the panelists in this regard. The figure 240 is training provided for. for the union officials who are presiding, representing their members, as well as departmental officials that deal with the disputes. However, part of what we are going to be doing this current financial year, we will be engaging the training in the form of training the trainer. In other words, those the service providers that will be offering the training have been given a brief that part of our training this time, we want to focus on providing a system that wherein we'll be training the trainer. And then that needs to be filtered down through all the other officials that are involved in the cases of disputes. So far as the filing of awards, we made mention of the fact that we have raised the issue as it was a concern raised from the Office of the Chairperson by the content advisor, that the ELRC is silent in that regard. And us raising the issue in terms of our situational analysis was to say, we are fully aware of this requirement. However, we take full cognizance of such which is provided for in the law itself, which begins to say the role the ELRC can play in that regard is limited. However, because we've got this collaboration with SAIS, and our panelists always make comments when they issue an award where a child is involved as a victim, that means the cases that involve sexual misconduct, they will always make reference that the award must be filed with SAIS. Now, what process we follow in terms of that? We write a formal communique to SAIS citing the relevant prescripts of the law, and that's in our constitution. And then we record such and we keep our own register, and they themselves, they keep theirs as well. But insofar as filing the awards with the other institutions, we are raising it to say we are aware of such a requirement. However, our limited understanding tells us that the ELRC cannot play a role in that regard, but that is subject to confirmation by the institutions as cited in the document itself. So we haven't filed anything insofar as the other institutions, but with SAIS, we have started filing this year. So today we have filed 3 hours to answer the question from Honorable Mashishi. In terms of the backlogs, the unavailability of lawyers to represent the members, what is the remedy that we have put in place from the ELRC side? So we always try to engage them, but we have not taken it to an extent of seeking a legal opinion, whether we can take it to an extent of perhaps reporting such lawyers to the bar itself or not, because we are there too. We need to tread very careful, because the ELRC's role is limited. We cannot, as the council, dictate what should happen in terms of the practices of the lawyers out there. But we continuously endeavor to draw to their attention that our interest is to resolve as many disputes as possible within a limited time frame. However, if the concern from the committee is that we should explore the issue of what remedy can be put in place by seeking perhaps a legal opinion on the matter, I'm sure council will welcome such a recommendation. So in terms of EZD, we have made reference to the fact earlier on that there too, we take full cognizance of the fact that ideally there's quite a bigger role that the ELRC can play insofar as the conditions of service for the sector is concerned. But the limitation there too is the issues around the budget. We want to assure the members that if perhaps next week when the minister is presenting a budget in Parliament, she makes an indication that so much of the budget is set aside to address the issues for the conditions of service for the ECD, then obviously ELRC has to take that and translate that into its plan. But currently the confines within which we operate within is to take full cognizance of the fact that some of these issues are budget-driven. And when we talk about this preliminary research insofar as the ECD is concerned, we're talking about the conditions of service at large. For instance, if at any given point in time there is a policy in terms of the norms and standards to regulate the sector, formal to institutionalize the sector, obviously the ELRC might play a significant role insofar as what are going to be the terms of conditions in terms of determining the salaries, the qualifications of that. We will play a role, but our role at this point in time is limited to the fact that there is no policy that is clear with the guidelines to say this is what the state envisages to do insofar as that sector is concerned. And I might mention to the fact that, Chairperson, that we are allowed by the National Treasury to revise our APP at least once a year. So if between now and the time when we have to revise the APP, there is a policy in place taking forward that which is expressed in the NDP. Quite clearly, we will come back to the committee to say that these are the things that we have revised to take into consideration what has been put as a policy. I have responded to Honorable Mashishi's question of how many warrants has been filed with SAFE and what procedure to follow in doing such. The other question is us relying on the provincial chambers for the monitoring of implementation of agreements. So when I made reference to the fact that we rely to the provincial chambers, because we are utilizing our provincial chambers to collect such data for us. In other words, if the reports presented in the chamber itself are showing that a collective agreement is not implemented by a certain chamber, we then, from our side, kick in Section 23 of our constitution. In other words, we make use of the reports. We receive the reports from the provincial chambers, which are showing that this collective agreement is implemented or has not been implemented. If not implemented, the constitution, Section 23 of our constitution, provides that we engage the provincial department in terms of requesting them to finish us with the reasons why hasn't there been compliance, and we take it from that point in time. So in other words, we are not just leaving it to them and say it is your responsibility, because the ELRC as a national plays an oversight role in its 9 provincial chambers. Chair, I think I've clarified the issue of PPN and versus temporary educators and why there will only be a certain number of posts that are filled by temporary educators in the system. I think, Chair, the other issue is us setting realistic targets. Honorable Makwela made mention of the fact that we are only citing 2 factors that are contributing to us having backlogs. Additional to that, to the 2 factors that we have cited, Chairperson, we also need to take into cognizance the fact that our financial year ends in March. Now, in March already, you will be preparing a report in terms of the number of disputes received for the financial year that you are reporting for. But realistically speaking, the disputes that are received in March cannot be set down in March. They will only be set down April going forward. So that too, it constitutes the bulk of these cases that we always reporting as backlogs. They are not backlogs in the true sense of the word. But operationally speaking, and also because of the limitations of us reporting in the financial period, we have to take all the cases that were referred to us in March and set them down for the year following, which commences in April. In terms of our engagements with SAFE, sure, we can confirm that we are currently engaging with SAFE. However, there hasn't been any concrete proposals coming from them in terms of how that should be done, because they too need to do that after having taken a legal opinion on the matter, because theirs is regulated in terms of the law, in terms of their act. Therefore, though ideally the ERC would want to see a situation where we streamline these cases, we are there also confined by the prescripts of the law. But I am sure perhaps when we come back in November or October to report on the annual report, perhaps we'll prepare a special report on the progress that shall have been made at that point in time. Chair, the policy on incentives for rural allowance, specifically for rural allowance, the ELRC has to monitor the implementation of such a policy. In the main, our interest is informed by the fact that we have observed with great concern that a high number of disputes that have been referred to us is in terms of how that policy is being implemented. I made mention earlier on to the fact that our reports have indicated that there are inconsistencies in terms of how the policy is implemented from one province to the other. So it is an area that we are currently looking at, our council is currently looking at, with a view, as alluded to earlier on, Shepherdson, with a view of either finding a way of reviewing the policy so that these issues that are causing it not to be implemented consistently and in a better way are addressed, or alternatively, if the minister is open to engagement, perhaps the council can then open the engagements and try and come up with a collective agreement. But that too, it's very premature of us to commit at this point in time. Chairperson, the issue of teacher laptop initiative, when we came here last year to present our annual report, we did report to the members that TLI as a project of ELRC ceased to exist as at the end of the financial year 2011-2012. We reported that, Chairperson, and the record will show that the departmental official who was present in that presentation confirmed such that indeed, after there were challenges that the ELRC had reported in terms of facilitating the implementation of the project, the state has since gone back to look at other ways of funding the project itself. But I do not want to speak on their behalf, because I think they are in presence even today. But we wish to confirm again that which we reported last year, that TLI is no longer serving on the agenda of council. Chair, I think I'll pause there. Perhaps the chairperson from a council can add to your indulgence if there are any issues that I've left up.
Thank you. Before I go back to the member, the chairperson or any member of council, if there are questions that you'd like to reply to, you may do it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I think it would be proper that even though the question on the tariff dispute has been responded to, I think it would be proper that we also put certain things in respect of that to ease members of the committee, put them at ease in respect of the current dispute. Though we like the general secretary indicated that where the matter is adjudicated in terms of the court processes, I think it would be proper that I'd be put it in context in terms of the process, so that an impression must not be created that the LRC has failed to arrest the situation. That's why that situation found itself in court. I think with regard to this matter, we must be very clear in our minds that we are talking here about the collective agreement that was signed after a long process of negotiations by all parties, labor and the employer. And after that long process of negotiations, then the Director General himself signed the collective agreement with assumption that he should have gone through the contents and so forth and all that. Now, instead of now, when it comes to issues of implementation, then the DB contested the figures that are in there. And as we were thinking that they contested the figures that are in there, it was also contesting the validity of the agreement. Then, you'll pardon me if I keep on saying we, because, well, it's difficult to, even if you are seen as part of council, to take all the care, because by nature of our composition in the council, we have labor and the employer. Then, in acting responsibly to allow the situation not to deteriorate at a particular point, an addendum had to be signed to the collective agreement to make sure that exams at that time don't get disturbed and so forth, to allow the DBE to subject this collective agreement to a process of interpretation and application as provided for by the Constitution and as always provided for by the collective agreement itself, of which the DBE failed to do that. Now, came the second part where the exams were to be written again. Now, a second addendum had to be signed to allow that process to go smooth for the examination, so that don't disrupt the examinations, learners write and markers go and mark in there. So that addendum allows for the payment of tariffs pending the interpretation and application of that collective agreement. Now, instead of going that route, where now the matter now ultimately is subject to that process, it went to conciliation. Then when the matter could not be agreed into in conciliation, the matter had to go to arbitration. Now, all those processes are processes of the LRC in trying to resolve this whole matter. Now, when the matters were supposed to be dealt with at the level of arbitration, the DBE withdrew the dispute. Now, after growing the dispute, it means now that means the global agreement stands, there's no dispute. Now, when now labor was supposed to call for the enforcement of that agreement, because now there's no dispute, it has been withdrawn by the DBE. The DBE then withdraw the collective agreement itself. Now, once the agreement is withdrawn by the DBE, which is truly signed by the Director General, is withdrawn now, it's not on the table, labor then had no option but now to approach the courts that you cannot have a situation where the...
I think it has just stuck with it, because matters now in court. Because
yes,
she
was right
over through,
yes.
And labor decided to go to court.
Yes.
All right. Let him first answer the other questions
and then we're coming back again quickly. Because I think there are things to where I'm sure Mr. Mani will take up, Honorable Mani will take up again when it comes to peace obligations. And there are things that were not properly, not properly answered, but things that members will follow up. Thank you. Because we do not, you know, in this week we do not oversight the unions. We only oversight ELRC, and I'm just afraid that we'll take it too far in this meeting. Because we did say we have a separate meeting. We're going to have everyone of ELRC in and the board, and then we'll place parameters around what should be discussed. But just continue, then I'll give over to the CFO. Thank you. First, the council member, yes?
No, no, I wanted to clarify the process that we have with
you. Thank you, Chair. I realize Honorable Makubela has just gone out because I wanted to respond. He posed a question or a clarification-seeking question relating to the 90% of the debt. By way of maybe background, I need to explain that the nature of the business of the ELRC does not really incur any debt. So it would be unique debts which would normally relate to recovery of wasteful and fruitless expenditure, and it would also relate to cost orders. So those are the two that we would have as debt, and the majority of them is very difficult to recover within a short period of time, even within a financial year, because of either parties involved or also the ability of the staff member to pay those expenditures. So that is why we could not put in 100%, but what we're saying is 9% of that debt would be recovered within that financial year. Thank you, Chair.
We have another council member that would like to speak.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just wanted to explain the issue of the peace clause in the collective agreement. Yes. I think if you read the entire constitution of the council, there are a number of areas where we're talking about maintaining of labor peace and so forth. When we have concluded a collective agreement, we indicate in a clause that the interpretation and application of the collective agreement will be subjected to a particular process. And when you are dissatisfied with the way the employer has interpreted or applied the collective agreement, then you follow the dispute resolution processes and you are prevented from engaging in any strike action and so forth. So the processes will then unfold. There will be an award indicating whether your dissatisfaction succeeds or it does not succeed. So in the constitution of the ELRC, you will find quite a number of peace process or peace accords around that. Because our main objective as the ELRC is to engage in collective agreement and also to prevent the emergence of disputes and so forth. You look at clause 23, the General Secretary has referred to it, that in the event we see that there is going to be a looming dispute which will disturb labor peace, she will then invoke Section 23 of the Constitution. I think one thing that we need to do as council is to look at collective bargaining itself, in the future, as to when we see that there is a looming dispute, there will be disagreement between the employer and the employee. How do we arrest that and ensure that we resolve the issues that may necessarily lead us to into a dispute before a dispute arises? I think that is one area we will have to look at as council.
Thank you for that. But there is something that I would like to say once we complete it, because things, you know, it's a two-way story. It's not one way. You know, when looking at the department and looking at the other partner that is at play, I would like to speak to that later. Honorable the Corporal, and then, yes, you may speak.
No, no, thank you, Chairperson.
No.
I want to approach it from a different angle, Chairperson, and I'm really going to explain. Because you see, when we talk about subject care, these parties talk about this matter out there in the newspapers. They are talking about, but the advantage of talking in parliament is that you cannot be taken to task for what you say here. And I think they are briefing public representatives. They should take this advantage, opportunity to inform us as much as they can. Of course, without prejudice in their cases. Yeah, so that is the point. So, and I'm very glad that Mr. Haloran told us what he told us now. I just wish there could be, you know, another side of the story, without prejudice. So that we understand what is happening. We are not going to sit in judgment here over the two parties, but we want to understand. And I'm glad that Mr. Kutumela touched on something, because I want counsel now to tell this meeting, in their understanding, is this a dispute of interest or a dispute of right? They understand me better, possibly better than, yeah. Is it a dispute of right or a dispute of interest? And based on the answer, I may have a follow-up, because there are some things that we don't understand, and we must understand so that we can also talk to the people that we represent. But lastly, also, this issue of postponement, I want to put the blame at the door of the ERC, not of the lawyers, because the ERC is the one that appoints chairpersons. It is the ERC that appoints presiding officers. And it is the presiding officers who grant postponement. If I want a postponement now, the presiding officer can say, no, you are virtual men, I'm not giving anyone. So you must come here. If my lawyer, this one is not a, go and get another lawyer. At any rate, there is no law that says the ERC must have, it's not compulsory, it's not in the court of law. But I'm just saying that they can't wring their hands, you know, and become helpless in this matter. And I know, I mean, I can say these things. I had a case in 2009. I'm still waiting for an hour, and we know it's 14 days. This must be done. But they know the presiding officers who don't give these things on time, and they continue giving them cases. So somewhere this concern must rein in these people and say this thing can defend. I mean, who listens to a case that took place five years ago? People don't even remember the details of that case. So it just comes a joke. And the other thing is that people are in suspension, some of them with full pay. Of course, you must suspend people with full pay. You can't do that. But you have a situation where people are earning money for a service that they are not delivering. And of course, this person says, well, I was ready to deliver the service, they said I didn't come. But the ERC must take responsibility for this long postponement. They are the ones, through their chairperson, who grant this postponement.
Bonnie, is there something that you would like to add?
Chairperson, I received the response on the question that I posed. Then I think further questions would be an academic exercise. Thanks.
And I don't want one. We do the academic exercise outside. But I like the way the Honorable Corp put it. Because within the court, these things happen that you are telling us. And I know a bit, because I was following a public works dispute, that, you know, you have the right. Because you got a lot of powers as ELRC. Just speak to them and to conclude a bit. Yes, certainly, madam. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. I just want to clarify again with respect to the post provision. Jefferson, I'd love to clarify the rest of the stuff, because I don't find the answers acceptable. Your figures are different. They are different. In different places, they are different. Your quarterly figures do not tie up with your annual figures. Your annual figures on one page don't tie up with your annual figures on another page. They're different. So, but I'm not going to go back there. An attempt was made to answer it, but it didn't. There was no acknowledgement that in fact they are different. I just want to go back to the post-provisioning norms and the policy. So my understanding from the question, or from the opposite of the question rather, is that the involvement of ELRC obviously will not be in the policy development, it will be in consultation on the policy. The date by which you hope to have concluded that is June 2013, which is in a month's time. I'm not aware that the policy has been finalized, has it, by DBE? Has it been finalized to the extent that... Okay, no, I saw an argument. Okay. Do you have a policy that you are going to... Or that you might, if you plan to finalize this budget, you probably started already. Do you have a draft document or a document of some sort? Would you just clarify that, please? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Just answer briefly, because I want to conclude now. But I'm not inviting you for lunch. All right. I just want to conclude.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just start with the last question from Honourable Lavin. So we want to admit that indeed the figures will be corrected immediately after this session. In terms of the PPN, whether we have the document that is coming from the Department of Employment, we have a workshop scheduled for next week, which is the 9th of May, wherein such a document will be workshop to our council. But I'm sure they can add if there's anything to add in that regard. So the reason that we have put June there was informed by the fact that we had planned this workshop wherein that document shall have been brought to ourselves in the form of council. And also, it is taken from management plan adopted by council in terms of the time frames when to achieve or to conclude the issues that are currently serving on the agenda. Shall we also take note of the comments from Honorable Dikobo, and without necessarily trying to protect the council, because I only assumed duty 1st January 2013, but I can... I know that you'll protect me. Madam President, I can confirm that part of what we are correcting going forward is to deal exactly with such issues. How do we deal with compliance, even in so far as our panelists are concerned? Because they too, their operation or their contract with the council is regulated by our constitution, which the Honorable Tikobo has made reference to 14 days. So we have put together a management plan to try and correct the issue that we have not been doing correct in the previous years. I'll pause there, Chairperson. I'm not sure if my Chairperson wants to ask
council, in case there's something council would like to speak to. And then if not council, let's raise education. Yes, I'd like you to speak to.
Chairperson, DDG has left the room for a while. I think he would have been the perfect person to speak, but in his absence, I will say that I think this matter definitely has two sides to the story. There is no merit in raising the two sides, I think, in this particular forum. Yes. So having said that, I think maybe that is where we should conclude in our view as the department. It is a matter that has been spoken about very widely elsewhere in the public arena. From outside, we have not gotten into the merits of that story in the public arena except through communication through our minister. But as the department and the section that deals with that particular matter, we have not engaged publicly on it. And I think we should keep it as such. The communications that have come from the department.
Listen, just remember the last time we had something that was subjudicated.
Yes.
And then what happened, they said to me, bring it back to us as lawyers. But say what you want to say, and then take it back to the lawyers.
But I'm calling a point of order, and I'm not going to use... I'm not going to use the word deliberate. I'm sorry to do this, but I do believe that that EBE is misleading the half. I do believe DBE is misleading the half. If Panyaza Nasuvi is not an employee of DBE, he is an employee of DBE. Panyaza Nasuvi is on record at having said various things, at having said various things about why the collective agreement was not acceptable. DBE has certainly been in the public domain with and it is various. They have changed from time to time. Various versions of why first of all the dispute was withdrawn and then the collective agreement was withdrawn. So I'm not. I also took exception, Chair, to say there is no merit in informing us. There is merit. Questions have been asked, but I'm not necessarily. You are the chairperson, and you will rule on whether it should go further. But nevertheless, DBE is on public record on as having stated various versions of why this, what has occurred. And I think we have every right to interrogate those. The versions have come from Panyaza Lusufi, and I think that has to be acknowledged.
Chair, if you don't mind, I can ask before Makwela. Mine is a very short one. They have not responded to what is the nature of the dispute.
Yeah, that was on interest and right. But my take, Chair, is that you see, here we are in a formal engagement, yes, and we are receiving a response from the department as requested by you. This is the formal version we are being given, yes. And yes, and I'm not saying we can't acknowledge that there has been some officials of the department who might have said this or that, but they're not here to answer for themselves. And we may not want to pursue that route at this level. Let's get to what the vision is, and if we want to take an issue with the department on the basis of what they said, we could look at how we want to engage that. But for now, let's get what is being said and be able to conclude the matter here. If at some point we may need as well, why Panyaza said certain things, Mr. Panyaza said certain, we can actually get it to that level. But we may not make it a very big issue here and want to pursue that.
Lucia, I wouldn't like to make this now controversial. Like I said, let us call the ELRC separately. No, we have to do it.
ELRC without the department. 50% of the ELRC is the union, 50% of the ELRC
I know,
is
you are
the
being difficult.
So you answer part.
No, but we look at the one board, you know, where we have the two parts separated. We have them separated, you are correct. Yes, let us have the employee alone, and let us have the employer alone. Because look at this matter, is in court. And it was, you know, and the last time we spoke to subjudicate, listen, when we spoke to subjudicate, the lawyers here said, give us a letter. So let us give our lawyer a letter. Because a person that will count on this is not going to be you when it comes to Mr. Speaker, it's going to be me. He's going to call me in. And he's going to ask me, why did I allow it to happen? Why did I allow it to happen? You know, because I'm not in a catch-22 position with things that's happening here. Because I can't allow, you know, a person to take off a hat and say, I'm going to speak in this capacity here. And we don't oversight those people. We do not oversight Natosa. We do not oversight Satu. We do not oversight the South African Zona Base in Ini. We do not oversight EU. We do not oversee... No, I just want to tell you, I just mainline this. I take kindness. I mainline this. Show just right. We do not oversight. No, I'm showing. I mainline this. I'm very careful when it comes to this. I make like this. And I make like this. And you know, and those are the problems I sit with. Now I hear the department is deliberately, wouldn't like to say it, but it's unparliamentarian to say it. But I'm not going to say withdraw. The Honourable Makubela Davis around here. Because you know my problem that I have, let's take RPL. We speak in this committee about RPL, and we speak to Umalusi. Then Umalusi tell us, you must have NSC. RPL is not accepted. But RPL must be accepted somewhere. So go on with what you are doing when it comes to RPL, because, and when a person comes to this SAQC or something, then there's another story. And that is something we as a committee will have to grapple with. Because I know when I took even the Honourable Smart our degrees further, when we went in for degrees, then they looked at RPL. Then I hear from someone else in the street, you bought your degree. You know, things like that. I bought my honours. And we didn't buy it. We passed it. Huh? I'll give you the money. We passed it. We paid nothing. Temporary, you know, because both sides are to blame. Temporary educators. We tell the department, come here with your supply and demand. Because, now, department, I'm going to you. Because one of these days, we're going to sit with the situation where the system perhaps is oversaturated. Because to me, how do you take Funzel stock on the one side and you take temporary teachers on the other side? And it comes to jobs. What do you do? Then, too, it comes to our temporary teachers. I'm not just on behalf of people listening, because I always say it. You have your temporary teachers here, and they are employed courting. Now, what to do? Then, we say that if you are here in the system, you must be made permanent. You know, those things bother us as a committee. And, you know, there are wrongs from both sides. And those things we have to rectify. Even when it comes to ECD, we are on record to say there must be norms and standards of funding. And that didn't yet happen. So there are many things that will have to be sorted out on the department side and on other sides. Because we have to start to level the playing ground. And that, we're still very far from it. Because we know the department has systemic problems. And we know there's no money. Because ELC is mainly on the one side. They also have to take into account the funds that's available. So, we'll have to see as a committee when we sit. You know, how are we going to see, how can we resolve issues? Because the thing is this, we are correct. We mustn't speak about what are in the papers. We mustn't speak to what are in the papers. We have to speak to what is being said. You know, what is factual. I'm going to give over to the council to say anything that you would like to say. Thank you. Because I would like to conclude the meeting. And don't speak about this reason. You know, that's why we don't want, we should have died, sort you out in Pretoria. We shouldn't have brought you back to Parliament. We should have sorted you out because we were under impression. The people who wanted sorted out were safe. And now it turns out as ELRC. People are very misleading when it comes to honourable members. Thank you.
To Chairperson, I think mine would be the closing remarks.
Yes, please.
Yes. Chairperson, I would not attempt to raise any issue that would invite questions. All I would say is, on behalf of the Executive Committee, we would want to thank all our members for engaging us on the issues. And I'm sure as we are seated here with the General Secretary, we have picked up issues that in our management plan and the advices that we got from all our members where we need to improve and take cognizance of other issues that we must work hard on, so that when we come in October to come and report, we come to you with a report that is satisfactory, and that would include the advices that honourable members have given to the council. We want to thank you very much for your opportunity.
Thanks a lot. I think there's a lunch outside. You might take lunch too, me. Everyone is going to have lunch, and I'm giving members at least a half an hour, and then all the members without you come back into this venue. Is half an hour too long, members, or might I give you 15 minutes? It's lunch outside. Do you want to eat? No, you can eat within half an hour, or do you want to eat within 15 minutes? Well, what do you want to do? You see that too, so you know the amount of eating we're going to do now.
Yes. No, that's not the point. But my understanding is that once we come back, we will then consider
the report. Yes.
Now, my question is then, is half an hour enough to prepare the report? No, I'm not thinking about how long it takes me to eat.
I'll tell you what. Where is the report? Loelle, where is my report? At what? Yes. Right, yes, that is the LRC. This year, everyone received it. And the only thing that's not in this report is the ELRC. Then I'm to ask the content advisor and the researcher to go back, because what must be put into this report here is the observations. These questions and things you ask must place into the report. And I'm giving them time to go and do it. Because knowing our members, you are going to look at this report. I saw my mistake saying that was done here by the officials. And you're going to look at each line now again. And tell me, do you like this word? Or you don't like this word? Or you like the sentence? Or you don't like the sentence? So therefore I say I'm giving you half an hour just to rest up. And then you come back in a half an hour, that will be at say by 2 o'clock. You come back and then we can go through each line. Because
because this is going to be my hardest part now of the meeting. Not this meeting, mad. Thanks a lot. You may eat. Thank you. That's outside. Yes, you may leave. And if we have a hard time with this member.
Thank you.